G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 99. So just before we get to today's guest, I must thank the people out there that have been sending me messages of kindness and support, and that have been buying my book, The Fasting Highway, about my own journey. You can get that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle, and it goes a long way to help with everything we do here at The Fasting Highway and getting the message out around the world. So thank you so much for that. So today's guest, we're going to be speaking with Paulus van Eeden. And Paulus is a colonel in the South African police force. And he lives in Johannesburg there in South Africa, and he's 50 years old. And he's married, and he has two daughters, and one is a third year at university, and the other is in grade 9. And Paulus was usually a pretty fit bloke most of his life, and he was even a spinning cycle instructor. And then his weight sort of crept up after a few bad habits crept in when he was office bound there. And then after a couple of medical events, Paulus decided to do something about his weight. And I'll let Paulus take the story from there because it's pretty interesting. So welcome in all the way there from Johannesburg, South Africa, Paulus van Eeden. Oh, g'day, Paulus, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Graham, for having me. I'm excited that you made contact with me and that I can share a bit of my story to you.
Oh, fantastic, mate. So, Paulus, for those people around the world that may not know of you or your background, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a bit of that background about any problems you had with weight in your life and health.
Yes, I was always into sport when I, earlier on from my 30s, I used to do cycling and spinning and was quite active at that time, also a bit of running. So weight was not really a problem until later in life. As you progress, the kids come, then you tend to leave the sport things because the kids are more important. And then slowly but surely, you start to gain weight. You don't realize it at first, but it's just there and it comes. Then I moved into a position in 2014 where I was quite busy. Also, working lots of after hours and not properly eating and doing exercise and things at all. So often you just grab whatever is available in the office and eat. And I ended up eating the wrong stuff, more into fast foods and sweet things and biscuits, processed foods. You think, well, that's a meal, and then you eat it. So it was not really volumes of things that I eat, but the wrong things. And then as it progressed into this position up until 2019, around about there, I realized that I've gained quite a lot of weight and I wanted to do something about it. And then I've done a few things where you follow a protein diet and you eat meals every 2 hours, smaller meals, cut out carbs, and then it works and you lose about 10 kgs, but then gain again. And so it went up and down until September 2020, where I really wanted to make serious changes. At that time, I was up to 125 kilograms. When I was doing spinning and exercising, I was around about 87, 85. So I've gained quite a lot from that time until last year, 2020. I've then also tried something and I've lost a bit of weight. I've lost about 3 or 4 kgs maybe. And then I said before my birthday, before I'm 50 in 2021 on 11 February, I really want to be well on my way. But the birthday came and we celebrated, and I was still around about 120 kilograms. Then one day we were driving to fetch my daughter from the university in another province from us, and I started feeling dizzy. And my wife asked, "What's wrong?" I said, "No, I'm fine." But I could feel my heart rate going up very, very fast, and I've struggled breathing. And then I realized, okay, something is wrong. But when we arrived at the destination, it was gone. And I didn't thought about it much. Then about 2 weeks after that, we went shopping in one of the local shopping malls. And then I nearly fainted. I had the same symptoms. Heart rate went up, really felt bad. I had to sit down. We called the paramedics. I didn't know what was going on, if it was the heart attack or what is happening. Eventually ended up in hospital. They did all sorts of tests, brain scans, lots of angiogram, all the tests that is available to find out what is the cause. They didn't found any arteries that was blocked, so it was not a heart attack, something like that. But they said my cholesterol was very high and blood pressure was very high. And while I was in the hospital, I then decided I really need to seriously do something to make a change and improve my health. I knew I was overweight, way too much, and I had to really do something. I then started cutting out sugar and things that I know that will help and assist me. And I lost a few kilograms as well. I then wanted to go on a motorbike trip with a friend who invited me. And I also told him, "Well, listen, I've been in hospital. I'm not feeling very well. Are you sure you still want to take me with you?" And he said, "No, sure. He will be with me and he'll monitor me. And as long as I take the medication and things, will be fine." And then he said to me, "Am I trying to be healthier?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Well, have you heard about intermittent fasting?" I said, "No, I haven't heard about it." And then he started talking to me about it and just told me what it is and what he's doing. Told me about the weight that he's lost. And then I said, "Okay, I'll give it a try." So basically on this motorbike trip that we did, I started with him doing intermittent fasting. We had breakfast and then fast for the rest of the day and then had dinner in the evenings. So that's how it all started and how I came to intermittent fasting. Then I browsed on the internet and I found your website, the Fasting Highway. I saw the podcasts and I've listened to a few of those. And then the whole process started to unfold. And that's basically how my story started and how I got to hear about it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Paulus. So that was a catalyst, that moment where you had those dizzy spells around your birthday there. But winding back to September 2020, you first decided that, hey, I'm getting too heavy here. I'm going to start doing something about my weight. Was that just the worry about the weight or was there some other reason? Was it a professional thing or something that you wanted to get more healthy at that time in 2020?
I was also having other health issues that you don't talk about it. I had constant heartburn, like in the evenings especially, and then also during the day while working. So that was a real problem for me. I took some things that you can take for heartburn, but I knew this was only it's not going to solve the problem. I need to do something to get to the cause. The medication and things you take will only be temporary because the next day it will be back. Then you need to take the medication again. And I was also you don't feel very comfortable with yourself. You don't feel well about yourself. In our office in the reception, there's a huge mirror. And I could never look in that mirror. I'll just walk past it and look the other way because you don't feel confident about yourself. So it was really a question of I needed to do something to just get my life back and my energy back and be healthier.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. So, Paulus, in your bio there, you mentioned that you got up to that 125 kgs there. That's about 275 pounds for our northern listeners there. So, yeah, you're a pretty big imposing guy, I guess, and then having those sort of health issues and then that scary moment when you were driving, when you were dizzy with your family, I can't imagine how sort of that freaked you out a bit. And then finding intermittent fasting and going with your mate on that motorbike trip. And you mentioned there that you started your fasting protocol by you'd have a light breakfast and then you'd fast right through the day and then you'd have an evening meal. Is that something you're still doing now, or did you move into some other form of
protocol? Yeah, basically, when I started, that is what I started with. And then I also told my wife, well, this is what I'm going to try and do. And she immediately got on board and said, okay, she'll do it with me. So we've been having basically that protocol of a really small breakfast. It's like what we have in South Africa, a Weet-Bix and some fruit and some yogurt with it. That's usually in the mornings, around about 6 o'clock before I leave for work. And then we'll have a meal in the evening. The meal in the evening is pretty much what we were having, but a little bit more healthy. I didn't want to impose on the family too much to have this and that and cut things out. So basically we're having the meal that we used to have, but I'll limit the protein to about a quarter of the plate, and then three quarters of the plate I'll have veggies and salad and a bit of rice or a potato or something like that. And I'm still sticking to it. I've seen the success that I had with it, and I'm still sticking to that protocol. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. And during that fasting time, did you get the message of the clean fast? Have you been clean fasting that whole time?
Initially, how did you handle that? I didn't know about the clean fast. So I would still have not something to eat during the day, but I'll have something to drink. Like I stopped using coffee because of the my heart rate going up and the hypertension. So I'll drink tea with milk or something like that, or maybe a cold drink that's got no sugar. But when I got to heard about the clean fasting, I've started trying that. And then during the day, I'll just have water, not even flavored water or anything, just plain water or sparkling water until I have the next meal. So I don't have any snacks or anything between the breakfast and dinner.
And did you notice any difference, Paulus, when you started doing that clean fast?
You get the feeling that you are hungry, but I drink water and then it sort of goes away. But with that comes a very clear mind and energy. I don't have, I used to not have energy at work when I was so overweight. Then I'll eat something sweet to have energy. Then it gives you energy, but then, you know, the energy goes away again. Or I'll drink cappuccino coffee or, you know, with a muffin when you feel you need something now. But I've realized that I don't need those snacks or anything else just than water. So yes, there was definitely a difference. Also in the weight loss increased for me when I started clean fasting. It was like there was a better success in losing weight when you clean fast as to before when I just used to not clean fast.
Yeah, speaking of the weight loss, Paulus, just run us through that. From that time where you got introduced to intermittent fasting by your mate, you went on the motorbike trip, sort of what weight were you?
I've lost a bit since September. So at that time when I started in April, May, it was about 122 kilograms. From there, I gradually continued to lose weight. At the current moment, I'm at 90 kilograms. So I've lost initially from when I started in September about 35 kilograms. So yeah, it feels unbelievable that I could have done that. But that's my current weight, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good going over 14 months, some 70 pounds or that 30-odd kilos there. I mean, you must feel terrific and everything else. And have you had any more of those episodes like the dizziness or anything like that, Paulus, or is all that gone away?
I continued to use medication before until I went to the doctor. And then We went to the doctor quite often when we were tested positive for this pandemic COVID. And in that during that time, when I went for the last checkup after the COVID, the doctor said my blood pressure is fine. Cholesterol test I did again has come to normal levels, and I can stop using the medication. So for me, the gains was very good. In terms of that I didn't have to use the medication anymore. Every now and then there might be an odd time where I can feel my blood pressure still going up, but I also look at what I've eaten the week before. Then I realized maybe I've slipped a bit, or I treated myself a bit with some salty chips, the packets of chips, or some biltong or drivels or something that is more salty. And if I cut that out for a while, then I can feel okay, my blood pressure is starting to normalize again. So I guess my body has become sensitive to the things that I eat. And if I eat too much of a certain thing, then I can feel the difference again. When I'm fasting on the clean fast, it feels like it's more stable. So it's really it's helping me, assisting me with the medical problems as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate. And speaking of eating and your eating window there, I mean, you mentioned there before that when you started getting really heavy, you're eating all the wrong things in the office, the fast food, that sort of thing, and your weight started stacking up. And then when you sort of found out about intermittent fasting, you started eating cleaner and healthier. And do you find as time goes on that you want a more healthy sort of eating style in your window?
Yes. As I saw the success of the intermittent fasting, I really spent time making dinner. I love to cook in the house, so I prepare the food. My wife will also assist, but mostly I will prepare the food. So I take time to have that meal. That dinner meal must be a proper meal, with some tasty meat or veggies and a salad with a dressing, some feta cheese with a salad. We love to make wraps where it's mostly salad and also a little bit of a sauce. So, but it's all healthy choices. So if I make meat, I won't deep fry. I will rather bake it in the oven. Or I'll cook the veggies just with water, and then just add some spices to make it tastier. So the food choices that we have is the healthier type of foods. We try and stay away from the unhealthy food, and also from I used to, as I said, I like making food. So on nights that I don't feel like cooking before, I would just buy the McDonald's for four people. It's cheap and it's really good and it's easy. But I try and stay away from those fast foods because that didn't contribute to where I am today. It made me being overweight. So yes, we do look at healthier choices for food.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Once we start cottoning on to what serves us our best, I suppose, if you like to say that. But I know, looking back, the amount of fast food that I ate, and there was a reason that I was obese. And I mean, most of us that are obese probably know why we're obese. And then when you move into something like intermittent fasting and you crave that higher quality food, I like what you said about you take your time to prepare your meal and all that. I think that's really important in an intermittent fasting lifestyle, because I think now my meal is almost theatrical. Like, I like the preparation. I like the laying stuff out. I like the colors. I like just taking my time to do that. And then when I'm eating, I'm really eating mindfully, slowly, deliberately, and looking for that signal where I'm getting that appetite correction. And did you find that came for you, that appetite correction, where you just get that moment where you go, right, I'm full.
Yes,
that's it.
No, I agree with you there. To take the time to make the food, to prepare it, actually to go out and buy the veggies and think about it, how this plate of food is going to look. When I leave in the morning or during in the morning, I tell my wife, I'm looking forward to see you in the evening. And during the day, I'll say, I'm really looking forward to having a meal with you. And then when you sit down and have that meal and it's on the plate and it's colorful, as you said, It's really tasty, and I chew longer, and I take your time to eat it and just appreciate the flavors and everything. So we really enjoy that plate of food. It's like the highlight. So yeah, over weekends it becomes a bit long to wait for the window or for the period that we can have our dinner, and then sometimes we switch it around. We'll just have it as lunch and then do the fast until the next morning. So I'm pretty open for that as well, not to just be rigid over the weekend, to you know, just change it around a little bit.
Yeah, I guess your fasting protocol is probably something like a 12-12 or a 13-11 or something like that. You're mixing it up at the moment with those two meals in that period. But that's fantastic. It's working for you, and that's great. And so, Paulus, we talk about the non-scale victories, and you mentioned there a few of the health benefits that have come your way, the improvements in your health. What about the non-scale victories? The things you're able to do you sort of struggle with before? I know in your bio you said you love camping. You're an ex-cycling instructor. Are they all sort of things that you think are really going to help you now that you've lost this weight?
Yes, the camping especially. If you go out camping, and when I was very overweight, when you're on your site and you have to set up your whole setup for the weekend for the holiday, I would just sweat and be tired and be really, really, you know, wet after the whole setup. But when we go out recently, we also went camping, and it's just so much easier to move around and to get the setup going. And I'm not that tired or, you know, sweating like before. Even at work, I work in the South African Police Service, and we do a lot of work outside. And sometimes you have to walk some obstacles or go down some obstacles. Now, I can remember at one stage, the whole group went down to the next level. It was like a steep hill, and I was just not confident to go down there because of the weight. And then they said, no, I should go around the long way and meet them on the other side. Well, the other day, in the past week, we were working out again, and I was just so much more able to move and without getting so tired. So the benefit of that is really very rewarding, to be able to move and to do things that I couldn't do before without an effort. I haven't started cycling again. I'll take that up. I've still got the bicycles in the garage. I must just get them fixed up. And then I want to see how that goes. Basically, what I do now for exercise is I walk. I deliberately take a walk during lunchtime, or I might park further away when you're parking somewhere like a shopping center and walk the extra bit, or I'll take the stairs at the office and not the lift. So I incorporate exercise and activity in my day-to-day things that I get more exercise while I'm working as well.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. It's those little things that add up, isn't it? And like being a police officer, it must also give your fellow colleagues a lot of confidence in you now that, you know, if you're out on patrol somewhere and you get into a tough spot, that you're able to sort of, you know, get out of that spot a bit easier than what you may have been able to before. So have your colleagues been on board with you and said, hey, Paulus, you're looking great, mate.
Yes,
what's going on?
Especially during COVID, we didn't have face-to-face contact. So it will be virtual meetings or it will be on the telephone. We are now in level one in South Africa, so we are attending meetings again and things like that. And people that haven't seen me in the past year really compliment and say, I'm looking good. Yeah, close colleagues as well, they've noticed the difference, and they compliment me and tell me that I really look good. So that builds your confidence a lot. And I'm sure it also gives them a good sense that I will be able to be part of the team, and I'm more movable than what I used to be before. So that is great.
And is intermittent fasting something that's well known in South Africa? Do you find that many people talk about it, or is it in the media or anything when people talk about weight?
In the circle that I'm moving in, not a lot, because people also ask you, so what have you been doing? And then I explain to them it's intermittent fasting, but it's not so well known yet. On Facebook and on social media and the pages that I that I look at, your page as well. I can see it's well known there, but not so well known in South Africa yet.
Yeah, it sort of made me smile when you talked about camping there. I remember I never used to go camping because I was so heavy, and just setting up a tent was a hassle. And the thought of lying on the ground when I was 360 pounds, I thought, man, there's no way. And just earlier in the year, I went on a hike and I had to camp a couple of nights out in the bush. And it was just so freeing to be able to set a little tent up really quickly. And I remember lying in the tent just thinking, how freeing is this? You know, I'm 130 pounds lighter and I can actually get into this tent and lay down and I feel comfortable. And I'm able to walk this 65-kilometer hike with mates, and like you, with your friend on the motorbike. I guess you're going to get back into the cycling, like you spoke of there. And you used to be a spin cycle coach? Yes, back in the day.
Initially it started cycling, and then there was a spin craze that came in the sporting arena where you actually sit and practice for the cycle races. And then there was different classes at gyms. So I eventually became an instructor for spinning classes. So that was quite endurance and quite an intense exercise for 45 minutes, where you then have a class in front of you and you have to perform and do all the exercises with them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so you mentioned you like walking there. And also, I wanted to ask a question about do you weigh yourself, Paulus, at all?
Yes, I do weigh myself. I weigh myself every day. My wife says I must not do it, but it's just something I have to do in the mornings. Before the shower, I get onto the scale. I monitor myself. If I see I've gained, then it will give me indication of what I need to do for the day. If I see I'm losing, then I know I'm on the right track. And then I just analyze what I ate the day before, or the amount of exercise I had before. And then on a monthly basis, I track my weight so that I know every day you'll see the ups and downs, but on a monthly basis, you will see the gains. And I've seen the gains on intermittent fasting since I've started. For the last 2 months or so, it's the losing weight is a little bit slower. But as I've reached my goal window where I want to be, so now I'm actually maintaining, and see. But yes, I do weigh, except on holidays, then I don't take the scale with.
Yeah, you probably read. I tried to sneak the scale in my suitcase when I went to Japan, and my wife said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "I can't go on holidays without a scale. I weigh every day." She said, "You're not taking the scale." So anyway, I managed to find a scale while I was in Japan, so it was all good. But yeah, I really liked that, what you said about weighing. I agree. And I found that the scale for me was a really great accountability buddy, but also it taught me about what foods were reacting to my weight. And I was the same as you. If my weight was up, I'd analyze what I'd eaten the day before, and I sort of worked out what the trigger foods were. And I think when people have problems with weight, a lot of it is associated by some of the trigger foods that we think, oh, that's a really harmless food, but sometimes it's not. And then other times you'll eat foods you think, oh, man, that's what food that will really put weight on me, and it doesn't. And it's really funny how that works out,
isn't it? It's true. Yeah, I also, as I said, I analyze what I had, and then I know exactly where I went wrong if I can see I've gained weight when I weigh myself. And other days you feel like, if I'm going to weigh now, I'm going to be very, very, very much heavier, and then I'm not, or I've lost some. So it's interesting, as you said, how it works. But you learn to know what type of foods your body reacts best with, and how you can manage that. They talk about a calorie deficit. I think this is exactly what we are doing with intermittent fasting, but also the types of food. You need to eat those types of food that will constantly put you in calorie deficit, especially in the beginning when you want to lose that weight.
Yeah, I think everybody reacts differently, don't they? There's those people that can eat all the things and everything they want. And there's that saying gets around in intermittent fasting, you can eat whatever you want. Some people can do that, but most people like you and me probably can't, because eating whatever we wanted made us as obese as what we were. And that's just the fact of life, that some people can eat everything and some other people can't. And so you have to work that out when you go through this journey. And we certainly judge nobody for what they eat or how they live their life around their fasting journey. I mean, everyone's got to find their own niche in life, I think. But also, you mentioned there that, have you done any extended fasting, Paulus, or is it, you ever tried that, or you just stuck with this protocol right through, as you mentioned before?
I've tried the one meal a day protocol, but just for a day or two, and then I go back to my protocol that I'm used to. I feel that what I'm doing is working for me. There's no need for me to change that at the moment. But I'll try in future again, maybe just a one meal a day and see how that goes. But I won't do that for extended periods. I'll maybe do it once or twice a week only.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, your protocol, because a lot of people sort of would think that if you weren't doing something like an 18-6 or something a bit further for that sort of maximum fat burning period, but you've had huge success for what you're doing. So all power to you. I say stick with what works. And it was the same with me. Like people used to say to me, well, you know, 23-1 is pretty hardcore, but I didn't know any different. I just started and I just picked something and I thought, well, I get home at 5 o'clock, I'll eat then, and then I'll stop and then I'll start again the next day. And it just worked out like that. But I think everybody has to find their own sort of niche and how they handle their fasting, Paulus. And where do you really think fasting is going to go? Can you see it sort of around the world catching on?
I hope people don't get sick like me to make that decision to do something. But I really wish that more people will try it, especially people that feel that they are overweight and they need to do something, because this has worked for me for a couple of months now. And I'm looking forward to my 1 year celebration where I can say I've been doing this for a year. But for me, it's a lifestyle now. It's something that I can work with. And as I say, I adapt myself also. If we're invited for something like, for instance, a breakfast or a birthday party or something, then I'll make that breakfast, I'll make my main meal for the day, and then I'll have something smaller at night. So I just adjust as the circumstances come up, and I really want to make this a lifestyle for the future for myself.
Yeah, I agree. And like moving into that maintenance mode, and I know for me, maintenance is a much different mindset to actually when you're losing the weight. Because when you get to maintenance and you get to that set point, you start thinking to yourself, well, hey, I got the weight off. How am I going to keep it off now? And what do I have to do? And then I find once you have those fasting tools in your toolbox and you're able to adjust the scales as you go, I mean, you're using that scale for your weight spikes up a bit. You might tighten up that window a bit and clean up your eating. If you drop down below too low that you don't want to go any further, then you might gear that up a bit. So it's just controlling it, isn't it? But, you know, so when did you get to that point when you started intermittent fasting, Paulus, that you thought to yourself, this is different to anything I've ever done, and it's something I want to do forever?
I think when I lost about 10 kgs from 122, when I was about on 112, I realized, okay, this is working, but now I need to still lose more and I must just continue doing it. But it's a day-to-day process. So I think that's when I realized, when I saw it working, I realized, okay, this is what is working for me. And I need to continue doing it. There's no fast way of losing weight. I've tried training, increased training when I was overweight, but then I sort of gained weight because I wanted to eat more then, because you get more hungry. But with intermittent fasting, it's moderate exercise. I'm not doing any extensive cycling of 100 kilometers plus or anything like that. It's just moderate day-to-day exercise combined with the eating. And there's also a saying that say that you can't out-train your diet. If your diet is not correct, you can try as hard as you can, but you won't out-train a bad diet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, just this morning I went on a 12-kilometer walk, pretty brisk walk, and fully fasted. And it's amazing when you can do stuff like that. That's what I find amazing about intermittent fasting. Like people out there that would think I'm going to go for a 12-kilometer walk in fairly warm conditions and tough terrain, you'd be thinking, oh man, you need some big carbs, you need all this energy, you need food, you need this, you need that, you need to eat breakfast before you go out, all the rest of it. But I find when I'm exercising fully fasted, I just have that energy and I just feel so good. Are you the same way, Paulus, when you're fully fasted?
I found that as well, the same as you. I've worked on Friday the whole day. And then in our community, we also do some police work with the community. And that started at night at 9 o'clock. Now, in the past, I would have stacked up for that working at night with coffee and muffins and at least some crisps and a chocolate and, you know, just to have the energy to keep going. I just did that working with plain water, and I had energy, and I didn't feel any dip in energy. At 12 o'clock, the guy said, okay, sir, you need to go home now and go and rest, but I still had energy. So I fully agree with that. On fasting, I do have more energy.
And so losing that amount of weight too in a short period of time, relatively, I mean, being in lockdown there in South Africa and things are starting to get a little bit better around the world, how have you found things like clothing and that sort of thing? Have you found that you've been able to go to the shops and buy you clothes and your wife's saying, wow, you look great in that, let's go shopping?
The clothes that I had was getting way too big, so I had to go out to the shops. In the past, I didn't want to go to shops at all because usually when I go, I have to get bigger sizes. So this time around, it was different. And I could actually go and take a large shirt and size 38 pants, go to the dressing room, fit it on and take it. Where in the past, if I go and try on something, it's too tight around the waist or the legs or wherever. But it's actually a pleasure now to go out and get clothing and wear it and feel confident. And yes, they're quite proud of me.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a photo of you in your police uniform, actually. You looked very sharp, I must say. But your wife and your family, you just mentioned here that they're proud of you. The support networks, your wife's joined you, of course, with the fasting. And I know you've got children. So how have they all been with your fasting? Have you found that everybody's been pretty supportive? You haven't had any sort of negativity?
My wife have been supportive from the start, especially she knew that I came from hospital and I wanted to do things to improve my health. So she was automatically on board and she said she will support me, not only supporting, but doing it with me. So she's been fasting with me. She's also lost a few kgs. She doesn't want to tell me exactly how much, but that is her side of the story. The kids were initially a bit hesitant. They said, okay, so you're only going to eat one proper meal per day. Is that healthy? And how are you going to do it? And what are we going to do? So I said, no, you carry on as normal. We'll still prepare food for you and you'll have your meal with us. But now they are very supportive now that they've seen the success. And they still sort of do their own thing. My wife and I keep to the protocol, but they'll have their main meal whenever they want, which is fine. They are still kids. The smallest one is still growing up. So I don't expect them to be on my page. I'm doing it for different reasons. And they don't have a problem with weight, so they carry on their side.
Yeah, a bit of advice, Paulus. Never ask a lady her weight, and that's global. That's worldwide. So we don't talk about weight to our wives. It's not something we really sort of want to get into. But I think it's great that our partners do support us. I mean, my partner's been on board from day one. She's been wonderful, and I can't tell you how it is a really, really great thing to have your wife on board with you. And your kids come around. I remember my kids used to say to me, oh, Dad, that's really bad for you. You can't eat once a day. That's just stupid. And now they're really supportive. And they'll say things like, hey, Dad, let's catch up for coffee. What time's your eating window? We want to make sure it coincides with that. And so they get to understand it. And I know my family and my friends. And now with fasting, do you find that you just forget you're fasting? I mean, for me, I just forget I'm fasting. I wake up in the morning, I weigh myself. That's pretty much it. And then for the rest of the day, I don't actually think about the actual fasting side of things. It just becomes natural after a while as part of your
life,
I think.
Yes, that's true for me as well. During the day, quite busy at work, there's always things to do. We've got the energy and I want to complete tasks, little victories in the day when you complete a task. So you don't really think about it at all. I am in a situation when we are working and we have working in a group, they might prepare lunch. What I try and do is take the lunch in a sort of a takeaway, take it home, and then we'll just have it as part of our meal in the evenings. But sometimes you're in a bit of a situation where you have to change the protocol and not being rude at work. Like if a colleague meets up with you and said, well, let's go and grab some lunch and we'll have like a meeting over lunch. And then I sort of break it to say, yes, I'm going to do this for this day, but then I won't have my dinner. And then I'll phone my wife and say, why don't you also have something or prepare something? I'm going to have some lunch and we'll continue the next day with our dinner fasting. So you have to be open and adaptive in every day and how you do it, not to make it a burden, but just to go with the flow and just make it a lifestyle.
Yeah, I love it. Flexibility is the key to make it long-term and to be sustainable, because around those events, like you said, it might be a special occasion or it might be a colleague that's a very rare thing that says, hey, Paulus, I want to talk to you over lunch. You can change that around. You can move things around. It's like when you go on vacation and holidays, right? You can change things up. You can sort of go and enjoy yourself. And just when you get back, go right back to your normal sort of fasting protocol. I mean, and that's what you sort of are suggesting there. And I think that's a great thing. But Paulus, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to talk to you. You really strike me as a guy with a very strong mindset. And would you say the mental side of intermittent fasting is hugely important?
I think it's very important. You have to make your mind up that you want to reach this goal and that you're going to do everything in your power to reach the goal. And the beauty about intermittent fasting is that you can trust it. As you said, when you go on holidays, we went recently on holiday, I didn't take the scale with, so I didn't weigh. I still looked at what I'm eating, but then there is the odd treat here and there and the snack at the swimming pool, or you go out for dinner and then you have starters and main course and dessert just to try and spoil the family. In my case, if I don't have a starter or a dessert, the rest also won't have. So to treat them, then I force myself also to eat differently. When I came back, I gained about 2 or 3 kilograms and I realized, okay, this is why it's happened. So I just need to go back to my protocol. And within the next 5 to 6 days, I've lost that again. So I trust the process of intermittent fasting. So I don't get stressed like in the past when I see the weight is going up. I've got no idea how to get it off. And I was just lost. Now I just fall back onto the protocol, do the clean fast, and then it just, the weight comes off very, very easy. So I think my body has also adapted to this and way this lifestyle. And once you go back to the intermittent fasting more strict for a couple of days or a week, then you're back on track, just very, very quick.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, we talked about maintaining before, and I like to say that, you know, I'm in a goal range rather than a goal weight. So I try to keep that range within sort of 2 kilos, say 4.4 pounds, something like that, 2 to 3 kilos might go up and down. But rather than say, well, you know, this is my specific weight, because sometimes we think, oh, I can lose another 5 pounds or another 10 pounds. So your guys have lost a lot of weight. And we get down and then we think, oh, I can lose another 5 or I can lose another 10. You see people really beating themselves up about that sometimes. But you know, I think your body sometimes just says, hey, you know, this is where you're going to sort of settle around this point. You might be up 2 kilos or down 2 kilos around there. And I think that's where the scale is really great for me, because I don't let my weight get away from me. Whereas if I wait for my pants to get tight, what they call honesty pants in the fasting community, I could be another 10 kilos or 12 kilos heavier. And that's a lot harder to pull in than 1 or 2 kilos.
I completely
agree
with that. I also like that you talk about a weight range. Then you're not stuck in your mind on a specific weight. So you've got some leeway to play around. And what you are saying about gaining 12 kilos before you change a pant size is exactly true. Initially, when I lost about 10 to 12 kgs, that's only when I started to changing my clothes to a smaller size. But to gain that amount of weight to see that your clothes are fitting tighter. It's actually scary now to think of it. You can't wait that long. So for me, the scale is the indicator to say, whoa, go back to what you were doing, or it's okay. Or as you say, when you lose too, when you feel you're getting too skinny or losing too much, just to gain a bit more and be relaxed a bit more and not as strict.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, some people, they hate the scale. It's a mental thing for them. Like, they just don't want to see the numbers, or there have been people that have been dieting their whole life and have had to stand on the scale every day. And I guess I didn't really do that for years and years. And the main reason I didn't do it is because most scales back in the day couldn't go up and record the weight that I was. They usually only went up to like 120 kilos or something, and then they'd sort of bang out. That was the end of it. So I never really had a true indication of what I weighed. And I remember I went to hospital once, and it was the only time I really got weighed on a proper set of scales that could weigh me. And I really freaked out. I thought, man, I didn't think I was that heavy. And, you know, I think for the scales is something that you have to be, I guess you have to have in mind of, am I going to let this get to me mentally, or am I going to use this as a tool in my toolbox? And I think for most people, using it as a toolbox is really great. But Paulus, just give us some final words of motivation. And if you're sitting down, you're talking to a colleague or a friend, and you're telling them about intermittent fasting, how would you tell them to start and get going?
People ask me, what have I been doing? So my advice would be, just get started and give it a try. But then when you start, don't expect a miracle after a week. Give yourself some time to get into it and to start going into the flow, and give your body also some time to adapt and see what is happening. Because I think our bodies will initially also fight it, because the body doesn't know what's going on now. You used to snack and eat every 2 hours. Now you're eating only twice a day. But eventually the body realizes what's happening, and then it will start using those stored reserves. And that's what's happened to me. Also, try and get your mind around it and make it a goal. I would say get onto the scale and get that start weight going. And for us men, what I've done is I've just taken a shirtless picture where I was just my full self being overweight. And now when I compare that picture to the picture I have now, I can see the gains. Or you can take like some of the pictures I've even posted on the page where I was in uniform 2019 and 2020, and where I am now, you can really just see the difference. So yeah, just take a picture of yourself in your current state, because that is going to motivate you when you see the gains, where you've been and where you are currently after you've reached your goal. But it's a day-to-day process. Everyday food choices will contribute to your success. Everyday fasting will contribute. Everyday moderate exercise, walking, whatever works for you, what you can do. It's just a day-to-day process. It's small victories that add up. You can't lose 30 kgs plus just overnight. It's a process. And it took me from 2014 to 2018 to gain it. So it took years to gain. But fortunately, with intermittent fasting, it's a tool that can help you to lose it over a period of time again.
Yeah, fantastic advice, Paulus. Thank you so much. And I know exactly what you mean, because it took me 55 years to get up to 160 kilograms, and then it took me 15 months to sort of reverse it back to a healthy weight. So it does take time. And I always say to people, give it 6 to 12 months at least. And don't just give it 2 weeks and say, oh, this isn't working. You've got to really work at it and, you know, persevere and put in a commitment to it and give it that 6 to 12 months and then make an evaluation. But Paulus, thank you so much for joining me here today on the Fasting Highway. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and my regards to everybody there.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really look forward to the future with intermittent fasting, and keep up the good work there on the page. I see there's a lot of people that is looking at your stories and other stories. And whenever I post a face-to-face Friday, there's a lot of likes and people giving compliments. So thank you for the opportunity.
No worries, Paulus. Take care, mate.
Thank you.
Be well. Oh, thank you so much for that chat, Paulus. Really enjoyed it. And my regards to everybody there in South Africa. And I know you've been through a very tough time there, as you alluded to in the podcast. And I wish everybody well. Really inspirational the way you've embraced this lifestyle, particularly in the middle of a pandemic raging like it has been in your country there. Also that the fact that you did have COVID and you overcame that. And you've lost that weight in a more of a unique fasting lifestyle than a lot of us lead. But it goes to show you that when you find a niche that really works for you and you stick to it, well, the magic happens, and you certainly have proved that, and I know that you're going to go on to make it even more successful than it already is. So anyway, thanks so much again, Paulus, for sharing your story with us. So folks, coming up next week, as you know, is the 100th podcast of The Fasting Highway, and I cannot tell you how excited I am that my lovely wife, Lou Collins, will be hosting the show. We'll be going over a lot of the stuff about the book, the podcast, the group, my journey. We'll also be taking some questions that have come in from listeners about those things and also fasting in general. So don't miss that one coming up next week, the 100th episode hosted by Lou Collins, my wife. But anyway, until then, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.